Good morning. I am really blessed to be here. Thank you, Father. And I'm blessed that you're here. And above that, I'm blessed that the Holy Spirit is here. We are expecting God to move. First of all, He moves on our heart. And a lot of times, profound changes are made by the Holy Spirit in our life. Sometimes when He moves on our heart, we don't fully understand what He started to do. And He brings transformation. We become in areas of our life like Jesus because of the grace of God and the power of the Holy Spirit. His purpose, obviously, is to transform us into the image of Christ. That's the mystery of godliness. That's the mystery of the way that the Holy Spirit works. And obviously, He fulfills legitimate desires in our heart. You know, God is a heart God. He works from inside out. And we obviously realize that we cannot change ourselves. Okay, you know, if you're unsaved, yeah, you can make temporal changes, but you can never make eternal realities take place in your heart. Only God can do that. And we need to have, I know sometimes we feel stuck, we feel frustrated with ourselves. You know, sometimes we end up feeling that we have fallen short of the glory of God. And sometimes we might end up feeling guilty about that. But let's receive from the Holy Spirit this morning. He's here to do a work. He's not here to just give us scriptural information, as though that is important. We need to know the Word. And I was dealing with the topic of prayer. And so that's how we're going to start this message out. I don't know where it's going to end up, but let's invite the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm convinced that sometimes we don't know how to pray. And because of that, we don't really get the results that God intended in our life. Now, there are prayers that God wrote in the Bible for us to understand how we can effectively pray. Okay, and I want to start out by reading. And what I'm going to do, I've got a couple prayers that I've been really, really using for my own life. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to print those prayers out on a little card so that you can have it right in front of you, and you can know from those, you can know that you're praying the perfect will of God. Now, of course, you have to have faith behind it. It doesn't just happen automatically because you pray words. But now, in the book of Ephesians, chapter 1, actually, I put down verse 16 through 23. Yeah, I may talk about God's rest, or I may not, but okay, the prayer in Ephesians chapter 1, I had verse 16 through 23, but it's verse 15 through 23. Okay, we've been dealing with spiritual blessings. Okay, now, in that same chapter, and I don't know, you know, I had these prayers up there, so, and it's my fault if you didn't understand that I have these prayers. I've had them for 2 weeks. And so what I would like to do is pray one of the prayers today, and that would be Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15 through 23. So if you can find those, they've been up there on up top, but I've got, I put the sound people through an awful test sometimes. And if we don't find it, that's fine. I'm going to print that prayer on a small card so that when you come in, you can take the prayer and you can begin to learn how to pray it. Okay, here we are. Now, Paul in the 15th verse says, he just giving thanks for the Ephesians. And he says, "Wherefore also after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and love unto all the saints," that's verse 15. Here's what Paul says in verse 16. I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. Okay. And so we hear about scriptures like pray without ceasing. Well, most of the time that has no absolute meaning to us whatsoever until we know what that means. So it means nothing. Okay. And now you can learn how to pray without ceasing for people. Okay. See, because Paul in verse 16 says, "I cease not." Okay, prayer is something where we give thanks in our prayer. So he was giving thanks for you. He said, for the Ephesians, he was giving thanks. That's the first thing we need to learn to do. Otherwise, all we're going to see is people's problems, and we're going to magnify them. Now I am learning to give thanks for that person, knowing that person or people, knowing that God is going to intervene in my thanksgiving. See what I'm saying? Let's just say I give thanks for Joe and Kay. Okay, I'm giving thanks for them, and I'm receiving God's grace to believe that he is intervening through my prayer. You see, I never I've learned never to curse anybody, regardless of what they do to you, and you're going to have a lot of, at times, difficult situations with people. But if you make mention of them in your prayers, that God is intervening in their life, you're blessing them. You're blessing them with an effective prayer. So I don't use my tongue to curse. I use my tongue to bless, knowing that God honors. You know, you can sit all day and criticize people. You know that. What a life, you know, to think that all I'm going to do all day is find fault with people and criticize them. What a life is that? What a downer. What a negative. When we can know that we can pray effectively for them, and God is going to intervene in that prayer in their behalf. They need God like we all need God. I mean, God's intervention. We need His influence, and His influence comes through effective prayer. So let's go back to verse 16 again. I cease not. And you'll find that you are now, in a sense, praying without ceasing. To give thanks. Say, give thanks. You know, the Bible says in everything give thanks, right? For this is the will of God. Okay. So I thank God for people. I thank God for people that curse me. I thank God for people that come against me. Knowing that God is bigger than that attack on my life, and when He intervenes through my prayer, things can change. Okay, that's how prayer was intended to be. Okay. The only thing I curse is the devil and his angels, but not people. I bless people through my prayer with my tongue. Okay, so here's what, and you can pray this within a mention. He says, he goes on in verse 17, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory. See, I don't know about you, but I want to participate in the Father's glory. And I've got, obviously it's an eternal glory beyond anything we can understand. But now here's what Paul prayed, may give unto you. Say, he's going to give me something. The Spirit of wisdom and revelation. How many know that you have two sets of eyes? That the Spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. Now, I don't know of anything greater that we need than the Holy Spirit to give us a continual revelation of Him. Uh-huh. Now we're praying right in the heart and center of God's will. We're not praying our own prayer. We're not praying a guesty prayer. We're praying a prayer, a perfect prayer for someone. And obviously there has to be faith behind it. Okay. You can't be wishy-washy with people. Criticizing them one day, praying for them the next day. No. When Jesus intervened for us, he intervened for us. There wasn't a wishy-washy action. And you know what? I found that that frees me from all the anxiety that rejection can bring. You got to lose your fear of people and their rejection and their what they're going to say and what they're going to do. And sometimes you just can't take it personal, or you're going to be a prisoner to something beneath God's glory. You see, none of us escape the criticism and sometimes the curses of people, and sometimes it's Christians that are the greatest cursers. You can read about all that in James, by the way. So the spirit of wisdom and revelation. You see, the Holy Spirit wants to give you a revelation of who Jesus Christ is. Could you pray a greater prayer than that? No. See? Spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him. You can have knowledge, but now we're talking about something greater than just natural information. We're talking about the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. You see, you could not pray more accurate than that, as far as accuracy goes. It's perfect. You see, and the heart of your prayer is what empowers it. But the knowledge right here is perfect. We could not pray a greater prayer than this. Are you listening? Now I'm going to write that out on a card, and you need to carry it with you, and you need to start praying it. Okay. Wisdom and revelation. Where does wisdom and revelation come from? It comes from the Holy Spirit in the knowledge of him. Could there be any greater knowledge given to us than the knowledge of him? I can answer that, and so can you. And then the verse 18 says, the eyes of your understanding. I'm grateful for others that have understanding, but I need it too. I can't live off theirs in the sense that I can follow their example, but I need to have an understanding, being enlightened. Now, how many know we've got two sets of eyes? Did you know that? We have natural eyes, and then we have a set of spiritual eyes. And sometimes we struggle walking around feeling totally blind to the reality that God intended us to have. That's why he's telling us to pray this prayer, that the eyes of our understanding. Say, the eyes of our understanding. You know, it's a beautiful thing when our understanding is open. You know, it's just wonderful to see the Holy Spirit quicken us and open our understanding. Being enlightened. the light goes on. Have you ever had the light go on? You're just in darkness and all of a sudden a light goes on. All of a sudden you understand. All of a sudden your eyes are open. Say the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. Say the eyes of my understanding being enlightened. That you may know. Now see, look, these words are so profoundly powerful. I found out, I understand that when I really know something, I know it. Something takes place. You know, when I received Christ as my Savior, obviously I didn't know all about salvation, not that I wasn't saved. I have a lifetime to learn. But I knew, because I knew, because I knew, because I knew in my heart that Christ was my Savior. That's faith. When you know something from the Holy Spirit, that's the end of it. As far as knowing it, you know it. I know it. I know it because I know it because I know it because I know it because I know it. The truth has prevailed. Nothing becomes stronger than that when it's in your heart. No one is ever going to convince me that Christ is not my Savior. The moment I received him, I knew Jesus was my Savior. Now, I didn't know all about him, but I had the reality, the eyes of my understanding were open. And you know what? The devil has never been able to take it from me. People have never tried to convince me. False teachings have never destroyed who Christ is. Now that's powerful. You see, that's the no, say no. The eyes of my understanding being enlightened that you may know. Say that I may know. That's one of the most powerful words in the Bible. Know. Okay, it's just like, you know, the one prayer phrase that I might know him in the power of his resurrection. Any way, anywhere you see the word know, if you know, you know. Can never be taken from you. And we could spend a lot of time on that word know. And I didn't intend to even teach this. What is the hope of his calling? You see, you have a hope. He holds that hope. When he first called me, I had a hope that he was going to fulfill that calling. And the Bible says, he that had begun a good work in you will continue to complete it unto the day of Christ Jesus. I have a hope that God is going to fulfill my destiny. And I mean, sometimes the road takes a funny turn. And it comes down to that hope in you that you can trust God, that he has your best interest in mind, and he is going to fulfill your destiny. You're not going to understand it. Hope of his calling. Calling. A calling. Every believer has a calling. And a lot of people, Christians, live their whole life and they're trying to figure out what their calling is. I'm not making fun of it. Say, I'm called. That's a matter of your obedience. That's why, personally, I got to watch our time. I've always tried to be completely obedient. This isn't a game. It was never a choice for me. When God called me, he showed me what he wanted me to do, and I did my best to stay committed to it, regardless of whether I had to suffer or not. And you got so many Christians that are here today and gone tomorrow. They don't even know what a calling is. They don't know what obedience is. They don't know what obedience to a calling is. And they certainly can't love their life unto the death. There's a lot in this prayer, but just hope of his calling. Say, hope of his calling. That's why I believe I have a future. You have a future. And God, in our obedience, is going to direct that future and fulfill that future. And then what the riches of the glory of his inheritance is in the saints. Say it with me. What the riches of the glory of his inheritance is in the saints. Now, here's what I did on July 6th about our inheritance. You can have a list of it. We don't understand it, but we can have knowledge of it, or we can understand it. We can know it. Say, know it. I don't know everything. But I know that it's God's will that I know it. It's not in question. Okay. He's given us a perfect inheritance, the riches of his glory. And there's the specific aspects of it. Okay, I got it down on a list. Jesus was punished that we might be forgiven. Jesus was wounded that we might be healed. Jesus was made sin with our sinfulness that we might be made the righteousness with his righteousness. Jesus died our death that we might share his life. Jesus was made a curse that we might receive a blessing. Jesus endured our poverty that we might share his abundance. Jesus bore our shame that we might share his glory. Jesus endured our rejection that we might enjoy his acceptance. Our old man died in Jesus that our new man, his new man lives in us. Uh-huh. See? He endured our rejection. And you know what this world is about? It's about rejection. It's about rejection. We suffer that so much that it's hard for us to believe that God can really accept us in Christ. I'd love to just... I've got 20 teachings I'm giving right now on these verses. I'm just telling you, I am. It's like the Holy Spirit. So there's hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance into the saints. We probably don't really have a comprehension of what real riches are. Because the world doesn't know what it is. Now because gold is going up, I don't know where it's going. And silver It's like it's all going up, and that's the big deal in the world because they don't have anything beyond temporal riches. Then they spend their whole life gaining temporal riches and losing their own soul because they don't know anything beyond that. Nothing wrong with natural riches. The riches of the glory of the inheritance in the saints. These are eternal riches. These are something that we just probably don't comprehend. And then verse 19, let me get on, and I'm going to close here, but so this is what I've been praying. This is one of my prayers, in here. And what is the exceeding greatness? Say exceeding greatness. You see, his greatness exceeds any form of greatness. It exceeds, it goes beyond of his power, the greatness of his power, to usward. So he wants us to know the greatness of that power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places. Now there's 2 or 3 hours of teaching, surface. Okay. Do you realize that when Jesus was risen from the dead, what that really meant? A lot of people have been risen from the dead. Okay. But all the people that received Christ, all the billions of people that received Christ were risen with him. That's the difference. A person can die and even be resurrected, but they don't bring anyone with them in that resurrection. You see what I'm saying? How many people have lived and died and received Christ as their Savior? Because those people were risen with him in newness of life. That's the difference. Only in Christ can that happen. Boy, I'm grateful that it happened to me and you. And daily, I sit and think about people losing their eternal salvation, their soul. I feel sometimes burdened over it. We don't realize what eternal damnation means. I'm so grateful I was at the point of death. I had a death experience. And at that point, I received Christ. I had a little bit of understanding. A little bit. And I thought about the fact that had I died and gone into eternity without Jesus, it's a tragedy. So anyway, what is the greatness of his power to usward according to the working of? He wants us to know the greatness of his power, right? Which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand. The big thing is that he seated us there too. This is absolutely huge. And it's a teaching in itself, in itself, in itself. I've got every one of these lines here, I've got 10 teachings on these lines that you could give. Okay. Okay. Far above all principality, power, might, dominion, every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. What a profound statement.